Welcome.
Really? Is that how you say hi to people? God.
Welcome to another episode of House of Noise.
House of Nerds.
House of Noise. No, you're thinking of...
Kick 'em in the Nerds from Monster Squad. That was great.
Does the Wolfman have nerds? If you listen to our Brett Stuhler interview, you would hear a little segment about that.
You would. So that would be episode number...
Oh, I'd have to look. You're going to make me work. Episode number 7.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to make you work.
Work it. Work it. Work it. Work it. Work it.
So, honey, who is the interview about?
Episode number 7. Mr. Nicholas Reese of Joyous Wolf.
Oh, is that... We're episode 14. No, 15.
What episode did I say?
7. Holy Jesus.
Let's start over. Welcome to another episode of House of Noise. You bag them, we'll tag them. You skin them, we'll do something with them.
Yeah, you skin them, we'll make a coat out of them.
This is episode number 14 with...
No, 15.
God damn it. God. This is episode number 15. This is episode number 15 with Nick Reese of Joyous Wolfie.
Joyous Wolf. No, Wolfie. God, embarrassing.
Do you remember how they came up with that name?
Oh, God, no.
It was... I heard somewhere that was just a generator that they were trying to figure out their name. So they're doing like a name generator.
Oh.
And it came up with Wolf. So somehow they stuck with the Joyous Wolf. I don't know.
Well, that's cool.
So at the time of this interview, we had just seen Joyous Wolf at Rock on the Range.
Oh, yes.
And that's when you reached out to them.
That is when I reached out to them. Reached out and touched somebody's hand. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he actually got back to us, and we set up the interview, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And he totally dodged a really big question that I gave him.
He did. Like a champ, like an expert.
We ended up talking to him, what was it, like not even a month later.
Right.
But
yeah, because we went to Traverse City to hear them perform.
And at first, he didn't remember us, which was hilarious.
Yes.
And then when he finally realized who we were, he was like, holy crap, I didn't realize that was you. Then he starts telling us about the story about dodging the question, which was hilarious. I guess whoever his manager or PR person or whoever it was like the way he danced around the question and answered it without answering it. I don't know.
It was beautiful. But you'll hear it for yourself.
It was about Greta Van Fleet.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it. Yes, it was very political. So we're not going to tell them too much about that because I want them to listen to the interview.
Hey, another thing about this interview, there was no air conditioning
in the station that day.
Literally sweating all over the place. I remember my arms were on the table or on the chair or something. I lifted them up and it was just dripping. It was so hot in there.
Hot as a fat man in a dojo.
Like a fat man in a sweat box.
I already said the sweat box. I said a Chinese man in a sweatshop. Ruined my anachronism.
It's like a Chinese child in a sweatshop.
in a strip joint.
It's like a Chinese child making t-shirts.
Mine were funnier. But anyway. We're going to shut up and let him listen to the glorious interview with Nick Reese from Joyous Wolf. That's pretty good.
Sure.
Joyous Wolf. It was. You leave that on there, damn it. That's funny. Okay.
Okay. Nick.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
What's happening, brother?
Hi, not much. How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could give us a call today.
Man. Oh, it's my pleasure.
Man, you are prompt. It is 6 o'clock on the dot.
You know, like, I don't know. I think it's something my parents kind of put into me, you know, like always be prompt.
Right. Well, they did a great job. Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Woo, how hot is it in California right now? I'm telling you what, man, we are sweating our butts off here in Michigan.
It's actually not. It's actually rather cool here. It's a crisp 70-ish.
Woo.
Oh, yeah, we hate you right now. We're like a humid 97 right now.
Oh, geez, that sounds just terrible.
Yeah, and our building has no air conditioning, so we are
literally sweating balls.
And boom. Oh, wonderful. Extraordinarily pleasant.
Yeah. So you want to start off?
Yeah, I was just curious. I know that you guys are in the studio right now, or are you just wrapping up?
We're in pre-production right now.
Okay. I was just
Our sessions are starting soon.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I kind of answered. I was just wondering how the new album was coming along then, but you're in pre-production.
What I can say is that the majority of it, like this, like we've been working on this material for a long time. And it's just like, it's been a very long process to getting to the point where like we can actually have the ability, you know, and the time and the money to actually go in and do it, you know. And since we were signed to Roadrunner last March.
Yeah, congrats.
It's finally coming to the point where it's like, yes, we finally get to track some stuff, you know.
So can we expect the same type of style, or are you guys going to be trying anything new on this album without giving away too much?
I mean, it's sort of, it's hard. It's going to be a surprise. I think that's the best thing. I think the main thing is it's not about, it's not about, anything like that. It's sort of like, it's hard to place because it's we're really trying to delete the throwback moniker that's thrown on a lot of new rock bands. Like, that's kind of our main purpose right now, is to not be included in this batch of like, oh, it's just like, do you know what I'm talking about? Are you familiar with that sort of thing? Yeah. Like, everyone's calling it a throwback sound, but
you don't want to be like commercial rock.
It's just, you know, it's just this sort of thing where it's, you know, in the 90s, like when there were rock bands, you know, like people didn't listen to Soundgarden and say, oh, they're a throwback 70s band. They're like, oh, this is a new rock band. Mm. You know, like nowadays, for some weird reason, it's like, it's not a modern rock band. It's a throwback thing. It's like, oh, they use guitars. I remember a band used guitars in the past. So I just don't get that. I don't get it. It's kind of like, it's like undermining the music and like the genre itself. It's almost like the genre can't go anywhere else, you know?
Right.
And I think there's a lot more work to do, you know, as far as the reinvigoration of like taking our genre seriously instead of making it like this, you know, like a nostalgia fest. Like that's not what we, you know, we personally are out to do. You know, that's not our job. You know, we wanna go forward, and I think that's what the record's going to show, is that we're trying to push our genre forward. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's an interesting point. And so what do you guys think you do to stay ahead of the game? Because there's so many bands out there within a genre. It's you got to fight to sound different.
Yeah. Unique.
And unique.
I think a lot of it comes down to the songwriting, you know, the same basis has been used for 25 years. It's just been the same. You know, it's the same, you know, hooks, the same chord progressions. It's the same. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's become so corrosive. Like it's just sort of dissolving people's interest, you know, new interest anyways, because it's just like, well, if you like this one corner of the sound, then you'll like this select group of bands, and if you like this select niche, then you'll like this. Instead of uniting the genre, it's like, because that's the thing, rock and roll is a different beast entirely than like a lot of the stuff that I've witnessed personally on I've played all the Weasel Wimmer festivals and other things like that, and been on tours and a lot now, and I, you know, like there's lots of different corners of like popular rock music, but rock and roll to me is different, you know. It's not the same as like a lot of these more contemporary, you know, metal acts, you know. I believe it's more like metal and progressive and stuff like that that's sort of dominating, you know, like Octane Radio and stuff. We know it's just sort of like I think we're much more of a melodical group, you know. I don't consider myself a screamer by any means, you know. I like to sing, you know. I like to sing, and I'm not saying that, I mean, people will argue with me that the cows come home, you know, that they think that sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm in a car right now.
Sorry.
I was saying is like, yeah, people will argue with me that, you know, that, oh, well, you know, he's as much a singer as this person. You know, in my mind, when I think of a great rock singer, you know, I think of like Freddie Mercury, or even Bono in his, like, you know, in his early days.
Yes. And
I think of like singers, you know, guys, you know, not like... You know, like there are people who bridge the gap, like Judas Priest is one of my favorite bands ever, you know, and Rob Halford was someone who he could just, the guy had his, you know, he had moments of just opera and moments of little blasting scream, you know, like there's a balance, you know. Exactly. But then, you know, there's a turning point where it just kind of got to into a core with a filter over your voice. Like, that's opinion, you know. Anyways, you know.
Right. Being that you said Judas Priest is one of your favorite bands, which, awesome, because I love them too. You know, as far as influences that you have growing up listening to, or, you know, that you can pull from, how do you think you've used those influences, you know, whether it be songwriting or the style in which you sing, or, you know, how have you been able to use them?
I think every band has influences, you know. Like, it's sort of funny because, like, there's a lot of talk throughout music history, especially a lot now, not so much back in the day. Back in the day, people didn't care.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they didn't care as much, you know. Like, it was like, you know, you hear the Beach Boys and they do fun, and it sounds just like like a Chuck Berry tune, you know. Like, and it was not that they were ripping him off. It was just that they were, that was their influence, and from that, like, but they gave him the proper accreditation and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of become now, it's like this whole thing, it's like people going back and being like, oh, well, he stole from this and they stole from this. Like, the secret is that every single musician who's ever picked up a guitar or any instrument whatsoever has never as always stolen. Everyone, we all steal. Right, exactly. That's what we do. You know, there's no such thing. You know, like the first guy who ever opened his mouth to sing, there was a dude next to him who was like, oh, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Everybody pulls inspiration from everybody else.
Yeah. You can pull influences from literally anywhere. You know, like I listen to a lot of things. Like, you know, I grew up on 50s rock and roll. You know, like I grew up with Elvis and Little Richard and Fats Domino and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins and you know, old school country. You know, and a lot of like early soul records and funk music. Like that was the stuff that just happened to be on the menu. You know, in my home. Right. You know, and I grew up with a lot of jazz, a lot of Frank Sinatra, and a lot of blues. You know, a lot of old blues musicians, and that's where I figured it out. You know, that's where I just listened to B.B. King albums and I tried to sound like him and failed, and that's where my voice came from. That's really so I you know, I couldn't do it. I tried to copy him, I couldn't, so I had to figure out my own thing. Tried to sing like Elvis, couldn't do that either. So
you drew inspiration from those artists and you came up with your own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I take influence. Like my stage show is James Brown, Prince, and Michael Jackson, and it just is. Those are the men that those guys are to me the most dynamic performers ever. Yes. You know, and I wear it like a badge of honor. You know, I don't run from it. I'm not afraid to say it. Like it's like, hey, will you dance like James Brown up there? Or you do the splits, you know, like Prince did, or you can slide across the floor like Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. It's not something I hide. I'm like, yeah, those are my guys.
Yeah.
And all I do is I like think about like what kind of spin can I put on it? You know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say David Lee Roth too, because you know he was always like jumping up in the air doing. Is like correct.
Yeah, he was a psychopath. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, you know, in his day, like, you know, when he'd kick his leg all the way up to like flexible. You know,
yeah.
But yeah, speaking of which, you know, you have so much energy on stage, like have you gotten injured doing any of this stuff? Especially like doing any of the climbing and like
No, I've never the climbing is a very like very easy. It's funny. Like people think I'm doing this extreme thing, but if you watch some videos of me like doing the whole thing, I'm not like sprinting up the pole. You know, I'm like, I'm not going very quickly. I'm just kind of like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. You know, I'm very careful. You know, people. Yeah. It just looks a lot more extreme than it is. I think that's my whole thing. Like I mean, and as far as getting hurt, I've only injured myself on stage once.
Okay.
And you know, besides like pulling a muscle, but that's normal, you know.
Right.
I broke my nose on the Fozzy at last show of the Fozzy tour we did a couple months ago. Okay. And I just bled all over the place. I just bled profusely, you know, like all over the place. Like, and I still completed the show, and I like bled all over the floor. And they they let me keep my microphone because I just bled into it, you know.
Oh,
like
cool.
They didn't want it, you know. So I have that as a memento.
Oh,
you know, from
exactly.
The tour.
How did you bust your nose?
My eyes were closed and I was kind of just into it, and I didn't realize that my bass player had backed up and I slammed my face into the side of his bass. Like, you know, I threw my head down as you do.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know what was happening, and I broke my nose about five times before that.
Oh,
so,
okay. So you were like,
yeah, I was like, oh, I know what I did. I know what's happened.
Broke again.
I know what that means.
So would that fall under? Because I wanted to ask you, what was your best story from this recent tour and festivals and all that? Like, what was your like go-to story right now from that?
Everyone's like, my go-to story is probably Rock on the Range.
Yeah, we saw you guys there.
Yeah, we saw you there.
Yeah, that was just a triumph for us, because we play everyone who wants to talk about Las Rages, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got thrown off stage. I'm like, yeah, you know, I went down, some people threw some stuff at the guy, and then they took us out, you know. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, there's not much of a narrative there, you know. Like, it really wasn't that dramatic. Like, I hung upside down by my feet and stuff, and no one gave a damn, but for whatever reason, in that moment, there. Like, he went up, and he came down. He's fine. Throw him out. You know, like, he's a ne'er-do-well, you know? God.
You can say what you want.
Oh, okay, great. Awesome. No fantastic. Problem. Sorry. I probably already have said it, but, you know, I don't know. It's on autopilot. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. People are like, I saw somewhere, like, are Joyce Wolf the new Bad Boys? And I'm like, are you, what? Like, we're not, like, biting heads off bats. We're like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty silly. Rock on the Range was cool because, again, with that Lot of Rages thing they did was it just got us a mountain of press. You know, we did like 25 interviews or more. You know, we went mm-hmm. to, Welcome to Rockville. We did like almost, I think, 33 total. Wow. Like, we did a lot of interviews and they were all asking the same question, you know, what was it like getting thrown out? You know, like, I'm like, it was great. It was wonderful. I'm banned for life from a lot of radio. You know, it doesn't really bother me that much because, you know, Danny Wimmer is like, you do what you want. Yeah, you know, exactly. He really doesn't care. Right. But what I was saying, though, it's like it all built up. You know, we played Rockville. And that was great, and we got a lot of talk and a lot of news. I mean, remember, like, someone said we were like in the top 10 acts of like the whole festival, and
wow,
and that felt really, it just felt good to see the media, you know, like a lot of different articles and reviews and stuff, you know, saying good night, saying, you know, that they liked our show and our music. You know, it's just, it's been a big, you know, since we started last fall, it's been such a crazy journey. You know, it's just been growing, and we did Welcome to Rockville, we did Carolina Rebellion, and that just was even, you know, it just got bigger every time. Our crowd just, you know, more and more people knew about us, and by the time we got to Rock on the Range, you guys were there, so we just had this ocean, you know, and it was extraordinary for us, because it was stage three, you know, and there was no one there 20 minutes before we went on, you know, and it was very humbling, and it was very emotional. It was an emotional moment for the four of us, because, you know, we thought about, you know, now we have like 90 people total running around doing things, you know, for Joyous Wolf and whatever. And we just thought back to like when it was just, you know, us four, you know, just doing our thing and playing empty shows in Southern California, and seeing that, like, you know, that just that all the love that we got from the audience that day, and the energy, and the it was poetry. It really was. It was something we had worked really hard for, and to see it in that way, you know, and to see so many people coming in, having heard of us in some capacity, and actually, you know, having an idea of who we are, you know, it was magic. You know, that's my favorite story, is because I just remember looking out at the end, you know, and I make everyone put their hands up in the air, and everyone did. And it was like everyone from front to back and around in the shade, and like it was just everywhere, you know, and I had everybody with me in that moment, and I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Well, we watched you from the ramp, because we had sweet seats. We watched you guys from the ramp, and we saw you do your little flip thing. We couldn't get close enough.
Right. We came in a little late to see you, so we were like, well, we'll just hang out up here on the ramp. But yeah, so watching it from up there and just seeing the whole crowd, like, you guys totally deserve it, though. I mean, you're a great band. You got great music. You got great stage presence. Like, you guys work hard, and it shows.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate it. Thank you for saying that.
I was going to say, we actually didn't hear about you because of Rock on the Range. We heard about you because of Blacktop Mojo, though, because we actually interviewed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We interviewed Matt back in October, and we've been following them and talking to them a lot, actually, on Facebook and everything. And we saw that you were on the tour, and we were disappointed when they came to Michigan. You weren't there. You know, but we got to see you on the Rock on the Range.
So. Yeah, so we were happy.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to kind of step off and go do some other things that we had booked prior to the tour. So we were kind of running ping ponging around. You know, we'd go do a festival and then we'd come back to the tour and do another festival every week. And, you know, like, it's kind of how it went, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that you had to cancel on a few shows because of, was it Rocklahoma?
Yeah, yeah, Rocklahoma was a last-minute thing, and, you know, like, of course we're going to take it. You know, who wouldn't?
Yeah. I'm sure the guys understand.
I get offered a spot, and we're like, last second, hey, you want to come play Rocklahoma? And we're like, yeah, of course, you know, we'd love to do that, you know.
So as far as touring, anything in the works? I know you're not right now. You just came off a tour. Anything in the works?
We're playing Rock USA in July.
Oh, okay. That's a nice
one. In Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We're going to be there.
Oh, sweet. I'm sad because we can't be there.
No.
Because we're going to see Blacktop Mojo.
Yeah, they're coming. Yeah. They're coming into the machine shop in Flint, so you know we got.
We really want to get a gig there. Yes. We've been meaning to. So eventually, we will get in there to the machine shop.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible, and we'll definitely be there.
Wide
open with a few goodies here and there because we like, taking care of people that we interview and bands that we like and enjoy too.
Yeah, we'll bring you food because I've already cooked for them.
She'll bring the food. I'll bring the booze.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, well, that sounds like a good pairing for me. I'll be sure to look out for you. Awesome. You'll be the ones with the tin foil and the cold ones.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, we'll be the cold ones. Oh gosh. Oh, so go ahead, hon. You can ask him another question.
What was your fondest memory of Blacktop Mojo, though?
Yeah.
Like, what, you got any good stories?
I think it was in Spokane. They were doing this little preview video where one of the guitar players was wearing a wig. And I was like right off to the side and I was watching that and I thought that was really funny. He had like a freak out and like threw a salad on the floor.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That was pretty funny. You know, they're good guys. They were nice guys. You know, it was a good time.
Well, how'd you get hooked up with them in the first place to tour with them?
We're on the same agency.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Same booking agency.
What, as far as like playing the festivals, was that also something that was that something the label set up for you, or how did you end up?
No, that's something we earned.
Oh, okay.
We played in California only for years. And then when TKO, our booking agent, came to see us and signed us to his agency, he really believed in us and he went out on a limb and he just, gave us his ability to, you know, he gave us the ability to go and compete at that level because he believed that we could do it. And I think he made a pretty good investment.
I believe he did too. I agree with that statement.
Yeah, I was kind of curious how hard it was to actually get on the bill for all these different festivals.
It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of work and a lot of practice and a lot of, you know, just, you know, getting ourselves together and making sure that the product that we were putting out was worth watching and worth listening to, you know, like as far as our live set, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we worked on our 30-minute. We've been working on it since we started, you know, and now we have, I think, a pretty, pretty great 30-minute set.
Very cool. How do you believe that you should tour with bands that sound like you or maybe a little bit different but not too different?
I mean, in my opinion, I believe that I'd like to find groups that make the most sense musically to what we do. I mean, that just kind of come from the same world, you know, because in my opinion, we're just sort of in a very sporadic time right now where no one's quite sure what rock is anymore. And in my plans for the future are to introduce a lot of new bands that kind of fall from the same tree, so to speak, right, as Joyous Wolf.
All right.
Well, definitely send them our way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we pretty much love talking to musicians like yourself, and we can play whatever we want here, so.
Yeah, we're just, we're just a couple of music lovers.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all I am.
All the stuff you were naming off earlier, we're kind of looking at each other, just smiling and nodding.
Yeah.
Like, I got Link Ray on my arm. He's all zombified out, but.
I fucking love Link Ray.
I know.
Yeah.
Freaking Rumble was one of the greatest tunes of all time. He did a lot of, you know, I was a huge rockabilly fan.
I know. I tell everybody, you know, it's, they're like, who is that? And I'm like, oh, it's Link Ray. They're like, who's Link Ray? I was like, hold on. I play the Rumble. They're like, oh, I know that song. It's like, everybody knows that song, but
a lot of people get it because it might get loud, you know, because Jimmy Page is a big fan.
Yeah.
Oh. And from that documentary, he plays a little bit of Link Ray.
Oh, that's cool.
But I was a big rockabilly fan, and my dad had his records, and I, you know, like lots of rockabilly records, lots of, you know, from Link Ray, you know, like the super hillbilly stuff, you know.
Okay.
That's just something that was there, you know. Mm-hmm. My dad was a rockabilly guy in the 80s, you know, like with the Stray Cats and stuff, and what he did when he sang in a band too, and that's the kind of music he did back in the day.
Very cool. So do you feel, because you've been at this for a little while, that technology has paid off in a big way for you guys?
No. I don't.
No.
I think all technology does for us specifically is it gives us a hub, you know, mm-hmm. for everyone to go and collab and to be a community and to be together and all of this stuff.
But then again,
you know, back in the day, you had fan clubs, you know, that you could join, you know, and people did that, and somehow, some way, people stayed in touch with what bands were doing, anyways, you know, through magazines mm-hmm. and through all sorts of things. So I don't think it's that different, you know. I really don't think so.
Right.
I mean, it makes it easier, but it makes it 100 times harder because there's a lot more white noise. Because, you know, back in the day, you really had to show your stuff, you know, mm-hmm. to be put into the magazines and be talked about like that, you know, and to be on that kind of, and to be on the spectrum of that sort of way. Now it's like, I could start a band tomorrow and call it Fuck Bucket, you know, and make it a page on Facebook, and I could invite a bunch of friends who will mindlessly follow it, you know, like, that's kind of the thing that I don't like about it. I don't think it's helped, because at the same time, you know, we haven't had any promotion for our music. We have been running completely on our own up until recently. You know, we still, you know, like, we get the majority of our audience just by showing up and playing, you know, whatever we can get. Like, we were last minute additions to that end of Fozzy's tour, to those last couple of weeks with Fozzy, and no one knew who the hell we were, you know, and that's how it usually is. No one knows who we are, you know, like, now, like, before it was like 99% didn't know who we were, like, at the first festival last year, and now it's like 60%, you know, by Rock on the Range, it got to like, you know, 60% of people don't know who we are, you know, and it's really been grassroots, like, it's been word of mouth, and it's, you know, for the media people who show up at these events, you know, they're just typing on their blogs, you know, it's the same thing if it would have had a, you know, a magazine or a some sort of publication like in the past, you know,
right,
for that kind of thing, like that. So I don't think technology has helped us so much, at least not yet. I mean, it's made music easier to get around. I mean, nowadays, you know, you can get on Spotify and listen to any record that's come out pretty much ever, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
you know, that's available on there, which is a huge catalog,
right?
Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, there's good things and bad things, but if you're asking that if it's helped us, no, I don't think it has. I think we've done it the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
You know, really. I mean, we're on Roadrunner now, but we still only have 4,200 followers. You know, we don't have 46 million or 200,000. I mean, there was always so many people saying, oh, you know, you're never going to get signed if your social media numbers aren't giant. You know, people used to say silly things like that to me, and I never bought it. You know, we had even less when we got signed, you know, like this last run, you know, we probably went up 2,000 subscribers because we were touring all the time. So I don't think so. I feel like it's the same thing as it's always been, you know, you still have to go out there and show that you're worth being looked at. You know, you can have people shove you like up people's butts pretty much, you know, with promotion. Mm-hmm. But at that time, it's like, that's such a fleeting attention span, you know, like just because you're forced into someone's face doesn't mean they're going to like attention. You know, and I'm glad that we haven't been, you know, done that way. You know, I'm glad that we've done it strictly because, like, you know, we played for a couple people at a time and some of them liked us and would tell their friends and it just grew from there, you know, like our following in Los Angeles, where we're from and all of this. It's just been a very, very old-fashioned approach to it, you know, like, because it just doesn't make sense to me and it never has. And I believe that if you think that that's going to be your ticket, you know, that, you know, the social media aspect is going to be what breaks you, then you're dreaming, you know?
Yeah.
So because you still got to go do work. And I feel like that ethic, the work ethic is what's missing from a lot of young bands.
I agree.
They're just in this sort of like, it's not about the art anymore. It's about like the fame that they can achieve. You know, nowadays people get famous making 3-second videos. Like, that's what's lost on me in a lot of modern media.
Totally
is that they think that it's all that, and it's like it's all aesthetic and no fire. You know, and I'm all about fire.
Yes.
So that kind of explains why you only have the one song on Spotify then.
Yeah, I mean,
just to get your name out there, but not overwhelm them with you know whole album worth of material.
I mean, we consider like when we finally put a record out, and our label agrees with us. You know, is like when we put it out, like it needs to be perfect. It needs to be something that we're legitimately proud of. Because now, you know, again, people play the single game now, and it's like, okay, we're gonna make one good song, and then every song after that is gonna be filler. You know, oh look, we made our single, we're fine. It'll get 2 million plays on Spotify, and then we'll move on to making another subpar record with one good song on it. I'm just not for that, you know. And neither are my band members. Like we take a lot of time and effort to make our songs, to make each song have something, you know, have the whole thing be something for everybody, and something that is thought out, you know, so you know that we're trying, you know, that we're trying. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell if acts are trying or not, because it's just like, you know, is this really new? Is this really what the future is? Like, is this really what people want? You know, I don't know. And the thing is, the more I thought about that when I was younger, the worse my songwriting was.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't think about any of that. I just think about what sounds good to me and to my bandmates, and that's what we do. You know?
Yeah. Now, you and your band, are you more of an LP or an EP type band? Like, do you want to put out a full album, or are you okay with?
We want to make albums. We want to make albums. I mean, we're gonna have we're probably gonna do a little preview, but it ultimately it'll be albums because you know people say that albums are dead or whatever, and I'm like, albums aren't dead. No. Adele, the record just broke the world record for the most albums sold in a week.
Right.
Exactly.
Ever. You know, I'm like, it's not about records. It's about good records.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you were talking.
There's only a handful of records in the last maybe 20 years that for me personally, and this is just me, people are going to be like, well, how about this record? And I'm like, no. I'm talking about myself. You know, I can really only think about, you know, 6 or 7 albums that I think match up to class classics from the past, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like records that are still huge, you know, like you put on Van Halen's first record. It sounds as big. It sounds as great as it did when it came out.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
It just does. You know, you put on 10 by Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. That record sounds as good as it, you know, Nevermind by Nirvana. Mm-hmm. You know, these records are like 25, 26 years old now. You know, mm-hmm. and they still sound fresh, and it's not because of the stylistic or the nostalgia. It's just because the record was good.
Yeah. They had, you know, they had that substance to them. That something, you know, extra.
You know, because they had something to say. You know, there was something they had. They wanted to be heard for a different reason. You know, because I mean, you remember how political those groups were. They weren't not just like about songwriting, but like as far as like they just. They were doing their thing, and that's why it worked, not because they were trying to do something that already existed. And, you know, they were just doing their what felt natural to them. You know, you listen yeah. to, like, I love the band Joy Division. When I listen to Unknown Pleasures by Joy Division, it sounds like a group of guys who were just making music, and they didn't know what they were making. You know, they didn't know they were going to make a record that would be groundbreaking. You know, like, they didn't know. Yeah. They were just making music, and it just happens. You know, it just, because that's the symbiotic thing. You know, three guys in the mid-60s get together. You know, they love blues and jazz music. They get together. They're all really great at their instruments, and it turns into Cream. You yeah, know, it's yeah, not yeah, like, yeah. hey, we're going to get together and we're going to be Cream. It's going to be, hey, we're going to get together, jam some songs, and see what happens. It's not, you know, that's the difference between then and now. You know, now you have bands, you know, coming on with an aesthetic already built in before they even release any music. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's all about what they're wearing, and it's silly. You know, it's like, create. First, dress up later, exactly. You know?
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So, sure. How do you feel about Greta Van Fleet then?
How do I feel about Greta Van Fleet?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as
I know them like enough now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met them numerous times, and I think that they are good people. I think they're great guys, and I think that there is a marginal place for what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my feeling is this: is that it's very easy to get on the hate train, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying that I really love their music, because I don't want to be.
Well, I don't want you bad mouthing it.
I don't want to be dishonest, because I'm not going to say, hey, yeah, I put on their record every day and I'm listening to it and I'm loving it, because that's not true.
Yeah,
it's not for me.
Right.
But for a lot of people, it is that, and there has to be merit put into that, and I am thankful for their appearance, because in a lot of ways they showed that rock music is still palatable, you
yes,
know
right.
A lot of people didn't think that, and they opened doors for what me and the guys do,
yeah.
you know, and I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah.
As people, I think that they're great guys. I think that they're nice people. You know, I was sitting on the tour bus with Josh and his brother,
mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about music. You know, and.
Cool.
And I liked that, you know, that was very yeah. cool, because, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of young bands, so I you know, all I can really say, you know, as a listener, you know, as an avid listener, mm-hmm. is I hope that they develop, and I'm sure they will. I mean, they're young guys, they're even younger than me. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that they develop. Because I wish them all the best. You know, like, seriously, I do. Like, I want nothing more than rock groups to do well.
Yeah,
like, seriously, I have no vendetta towards that.
Yeah, and honestly,
I just want to see them turn into to them, you know, more to aim, sleep themselves more towards themselves. Yes. I really want to see what that is.
That actually falls right in line with the way that I feel about them too. I mean, it's not that they make bad music. It's pretty catchy. I catch myself whistling every once in a while, and then, but it's, they need to find their, you know, something that's more them, you know. I think that's kind of what I was thinking too. They need to develop.
And you know, again, I can't, like, people have told me, I mean, I get people all the time. I get comparisons, you know, because that's what people want to do.
Yes, right.
You know. And again, like I said, this is, I'm just speaking for myself at this point. Like, I'm not going to go and prod Greta Van Fleet. I'm just not, you know, but I'm speaking from my own experience. Like, you know, we're still so new to the scene, you know, like they kicked the door open, you know, and we snuck in, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're different bands, you know, like, I think we both exist under the umbrella of rock music, you know, I have no question there. We have a lot to prove, you know, and I don't want anyone to think that me having an opinion on them is like, well, you don't even have a record out yet. You haven't even done anything. You haven't even proven yourself. You don't have any number one hits or anything. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't. And that's why I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to fucking point, you know, prod that. Because it's silly. You know, there really isn't any reason for, like, I mean, who am I, you know?
Yeah.
Who am I to say anything about it? You know, I haven't proven anything.
Yeah.
I haven't proven anything of myself. I've just proven that I'm in a, you know, my band's good and we put on a good killer show. And, you know, now it's time to go and make a record, you know, and we'll go from there, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Because, I think they're very necessary for right now. I think it's a very good way to sort of to test the waters for, you know, a lot of other killer bands that are coming up. Like, there are a lot of, I'm telling you right now, guys, in the next 3 years, you're going to see some very talented, incredible young men and women who are going to make some extraordinary strides in the music, and I'm happy to be a part of the wave.
We're catching a lot of that right now in some of the interviews that we've been doing. So,
and I love me some rock and roll. So, you know, I'm a rock and roll at heart. You know, I grew up in the 80s, although that kind of suffered the same staleness after a while that we talked about earlier. But all in all, I love rock and roll, and I think you guys, like, I was reading your page, and I know you played, you and the drummer did Born on the Bayou, CCRs, which is
me and the guitar player, Blake.
Yeah, Blake, you guys did the...
Yeah, we did Bayou, CCR, yeah.
Which I was like, to me, that, you know, it's a great song. It's just musically beautiful, and I'm like, wow, that's, you know, it was kind of odd, because CCR is, like, you know, not... most people are like Iron Man or, you know, that kind of thing, but
you'd be really surprised. I mean, we love 80s rock, you know, like, but it's really funny to me that, like, a lot of people, like, when they think of rock and roll, they think of, like, Guns N' Roses. When I think of rock and roll, I think of, like, you know, like Chuck Berry and little and Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's rock and roll to me, because that was the first, like, little bits of it that I ever got when I was like a baby, you know. Mm-hmm. So the thing that, you know, that me and the guys have in common, me and my band members, and Greg, Blake, and Robert, is that we all had, you know, we all have parents like anybody else. You know, it's really funny to me that people are like, man, it's so weird these kids listening to rock and roll. I'm like, we all have moms and dads, guys. You know,
right?
You
know? Exactly.
We all went to football games as kids. You know, and, you know, when they run out the gate, you know, and they're dressed in black. Like, what do you hear?
Right.
At the freaking away games. Back in Black starts blasting, or Welcome to the Jungle. You know, like, we heard these songs. Like, it's kind of weird. It's like, oh man, these young kids listening to rock music. What's up with that? You know, we don't all listen to trap and EDM.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, we all don't, you know, a lot of people my age that do. I'm just not one of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I've never been a fan of electronic music, so.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, I don't really care. It's like, it's the same thing as any, there's always been multiple genres of music, you know? Yeah, I just think it's funny that people think, like, we need to take the crown back. I'm like, guys, the crown ain't gone. It's just, you know, like, the EDM didn't take the crown, guys. It's just like, this is what bored, you know, kids mm-hmm. from Orange County like to dance to. Like, I'm, right. Who cares, you know? Like, for, you know, there's millions and millions of kids, all, you know, hundreds of millions of kids all around the planet that don't like that and want to listen to Nirvana or Black Sabbath, you know. Oh, go to South America. It's those bands are big there as they ever were here in the States, you know, like, mm-hmm. and even here in the United States, there's tons of them. The main thing is just kind of getting them all together. That's, yeah. You got to unite them under one umbrella that makes sense, you know, under one, you know, reinvigorating the genre is important, because if you make it that, like, you have to look like an old man to play for, you know, to play in this genre, then only old men are going to watch. You know, little boys and little girls can only enjoy watching old men, you know, shake their aching bones for so long before it's like, you know, it's just, it's about giving, breathing new life into it. And I will say, it's going to be a little different, you know, mm-hmm. but that's how it always is. It always comes up, and it always comes up a little different.
Yes.
And that's the main thing, is for people to be open-minded and not to run and to staple it to the first, you know, rock band that it sort of resembles, you know, like, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't help the genre. It's like, be open-minded to the expanding genre, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, that,
like, because it's going to change, you know, and it's got to change. Yes, if it doesn't change a little bit, you know, go back and take what's great about the past and then bring it into the new day and make it scary again.
Yeah.
You know, make it energized again. Because if it's not, then it's just the same old. It's like, oh, we've seen this before.
Yeah.
You know, and who wants that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like Nirvana said, entertain us.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, so we actually have a few listener questions.
Yes, we do.
Oh, cool. All right.
Well, the first one comes from Lynn Lamon, and she's actually from the UK. So I got on the Joyous web fan page, and she wanted to know, if you were to record a cover of any musician or group, what would it be? Which I know you've covered a few things, but I think she's talking about on an actual album.
Me, myself, or me and the band?
We'll do both.
Myself, personally, I would love to do The Letter with a full band, like a giant, like 16-piece band. I'd love to do The Letter by Joe Cocker.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of my favorite songs ever, and I'd love to, and I sing shit out of that song. Seriously, I'd love to do that with like a full. I'd love, because you know what? He's not inducted into the Hall of Fame yet.
I know.
So, hey,
if
they need somebody to do it, call me up. I'll be there in an instant.
I could see it.
No, I would die.
All right, so what would
for the band, we cover any song. I don't know. That's an all of us question. I think if we were gonna cover something all together, to think about something we played, I think we'd like to do Fairies Wear Boots by Black Sabbath.
Yes, one of my favorites.
Yeah, we've jammed that, so I think that's a pretty good safe one to say without them being like, "What'd you say that for?" You know. Yeah. There isn't another one, but it doesn't matter. Let's move on.
All right. So the next one comes from Shauna Victory, which is also known as Mama Mojo.
Mm,
I don't know if you heard that.
Mama Mojo. All right. I wonder what band she likes.
Yeah, right. So she wants to know who your favorite bands are and who inspires you. She knows it's generic as hell, but she, you know, she's curious. And I know you
can't. No, hey, I'm fucking cool with my favorite bands. What should I do? Like top five?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. I mean, like, it's tough to say that, but it was going to be like bands. The Police, REM, Soundgarden, crud. The Who. Maybe I'm gonna do 10 because 5 is dumb. These are in no particular order, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, these are not like first to last. The Who, Led Zeppelin. Come on, you know you can't. You know, it's impossible.
Exactly.
Rush.
Yep.
Cream.
Mm-hmm.
Hendrix Experience.
Oh hell yeah.
Yes.
Jesus. What is like 3 more now? God. Tears for Fears.
Oh, yeah.
U2 ever up until Joshua Tree, and then everything after that. I don't listen to.
Yeah, I knew when there was a.
And I think one more. Jeez. Trying to think.
He's answering this like it's a life or death situation.
Yeah. No, hey, man, it's important.
Right. It is.
Shoot.
Judas Priest?
ACDC.
Oh, okay. Right. With Brian or Bon or both?
Actually, no. I take it back. Sorry. That's Beach Boys.
Ooh.
Okay.
I like both of those bands, but I'll put the Beach Boys first.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
All right. And Sean, I also have one last question.
By the way, it's I like Brian and Bon equally.
Awesome. Okay.
Then you just made her day.
Yeah.
So Sean also had another question she wanted to know. Out of the entire crew, who really is the cornhole champion?
The cornhole champion?
Yes.
Wait, how does she know that? I mean, we played cornhole at Rock on the Range. It's the only time I can ever think. Probably Robert. Robert's got really good aim.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the tossing, right? I hope we're not talking about, like, the sexual affiliate, because I have no idea about that.
Yes.
The tossing.
The tossing game.
Yeah. Probably Robert. I'll give it to Robert because I think he's got a pretty good aim.
All right.
Well, it's good to know that because we've challenged him to a cornhole challenge when they come to Michigan. So.
Cornhole challenge. All right. Hey, we'll all be game.
Cool.
All right. So where's the best place to find everything we need to know about Joyous Wolf as far as buying CDs,
merch,
merchandise?
Joyous, I mean, nothing available yet. Our online store's coming soon. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Joyous Wolf Music. We're on Facebook, obviously. You can find, literally just go on Google, type in Joyous Wolf. You'll find our website. It has everything, links to everything. You know, anything that is Joyous Wolf is available on there. And I hope you can also buy the Mountain Man single there. So okay, go do that too. And stream Mountain Man on Spotify because it helps us, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing that on the way here.
Yep. And I got it.
I appreciate it. It makes me happy.
Well, I've been playing it on our show since even before I asked Tom to reach out to set you guys up for an interview. So.
Well, I thank you at the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for sharing the music.
Hey,
well,
no problem.
You're welcome. That's why I love doing this, because I can share the hell out of it numerous times, and I don't care what people think. So
we do what we want.
We do what we want. So, well, I certainly hope you guys make it to Michigan, because I would absolutely love to see you guys.
Oh, we might be there sooner than you think.
Ooh.
I can't say much about it, but I could say that sooner than you think.
All right. You'll put that on your Facebook page when you guys do?
When I know, it will be there. So.
Okay, all right. Cool.
We'll keep an eye out for sure.
All right.
Go ahead.
Much love to you guys. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Well, much love to you guys.
Yeah,
and
it was great. I had a great time talking to you.
Yeah, it was fun. So we hope you had fun too.
I did.
Good. Well, enjoy your week, and hopefully it'll warm up for you guys in California. So,
I think it just did. It's starting to get very warm outside.
I didn't ask. Are you? You're not a father, are you?
No, I am not. I am all right. 23.
Well, I had three kids at 23. So,
oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to wish you a happy Father's Day. But I wish you one.
Oh, yeah.
I wish
it. Well, you can say it for my dad. You can say it for my dad.
There you go.
Happy Father's Day to your dad and all the dads of your band, because they bred an amazing band.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll make sure to tell them.
Yeah, please do. Tell them House Annoyance says happy Father's Day. So. All right. Well, good to talk to you, Nick. And we'll definitely see you guys when you come to Michigan.
All right. Well, so, I'll see you then.
All right. Take all care, right, man.
Take it easy.
Goodbye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Man, wasn't that a good interview? That was awesome. It was awesome. God dang it. Stop it. Like
twilight recording right now. I'm getting a little woozy. I think I need a cigarette break.
I think you need...
I need to break
to
me
break
off...
break one off in your ass.
I need to break me a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
We had we have apple pie cookies, which are amazing. Yummy.
You really bugged me that you didn't like it warmed up.
Why? I didn't say I didn't like it. It was yummy and warmed up.
Tastes
don't
like
get
a
butthurt.
Sweet, beautiful apple pie when you warm it up.
It tastes like a sweet, beautiful apple pie, whether it's room temperature or warm.
No. So, currently, Joyous Wolf, they
currently
they came out with a new album. They toured with Buckcherry forever. I mean, it was like an eight or nine month tour, right?
Yeah.
It was a long tour. So they just got off that tour. They took a little break and they were going to be heading out to tour with Deep Purple.
Yes. Yeah, Space Truckin'. Love it. That's awesome. They are so freaking amazing.
And part of the reason for this current success and being on these tours is because they had just signed with a record label. I think they're on Roadrunner, right? If I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure.
I believe so. I believe you are correct in that.
If I'm wrong, I'll get on here and fact check myself later.
If you're wrong, you have to strip naked and streak the neighborhood.
No.
God. I can't even get just one thing from you.
Want to hear a
funny
story? So one New
Your
Year's
butt?
One New
That's
Year's,
a funny story.
Listen, one New Year's
I'm
Eve.
I'm listening.
I'm outside smoking.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I was with my ex-wife. My ex-wife was out there smoking,
and
too.
And you're naked as a jaybird.
No, listen.
Okay.
Ball had just dropped. We decided to go outside, have a cigarette. We're out there smoking. All of a sudden, in the distance, we see somebody running. The closer he got, the more we realized he ain't got no clothes on.
Oh, so it was more than just a ball that dropped. It was his balls that dropped.
All right, he had underwear on. But it was
what's the point?
It was still like minus 10 degrees outside. And as he's running by, he's like, hi. And we're like, you lose a bet? And he goes, yep.
What's the point? If you're going to go like mostly naked, just go all in. Like, you're not streaking if your underwear is still on. I'm sorry.
I know. He should have went balls out.
Balls out.
So
let the cock and balls swing free.
So that's my funny story.
That's pretty, interesting. You can say you've seen that. I've never seen that.
You never seen a streaker?
No.
You ever been skinny dipping?
No.
I can say I've done that too.
All right. Well,
my younger days.
Little man whore.
Anyway, I think that's about it for Joyous Wolf.
Other than the fact that they're awesome.
A funny story.
Funny story.
Miss Jenna here did not like Joyous Wolf at first.
Oh my God, you're never going to let
no,
me
not.
Live it down.
So,
Christ almighty.
After we interviewed Matt James from Blacktop Mojo, they were doing a short little stint with Blacktop Mojo. Joyous Wolf was. They were supposed to be playing Michigan with Blacktop Mojo.
Uh-huh.
So, Miss Jenna over here says, I'm so excited for Blacktop Mojo, but I don't think I like those Joyous Wolf guys. Or you said that you didn't like them. I remember hearing, because I was listening to the whole podcast one day, the actual episode. And I came across that and heard it. And if I actually get bored enough, I might find it and play it right here on this part with a little clip.
Oh, shit. I'm in trouble.
But I got to say, we saw them at Rock on the Range. They were amazing. It was a ton of fun. We had lots of fun talking to Nick on this episode. We had a lot of fun talking to Nick several other times that we've talked to him since. And I'd love to see him play with Deep Purple, but I don't see that happening just because of our time schedule and everything. But we wish those guys nothing but the best of luck. Oh, yeah. Blake got on a Verizon commercial. So if you ever seen...
Oh, that's right. Him and his dad.
Oh, and another thing is Nick does voiceover work.
Oh.
Remember he was giving us Scottish accent? That's it. That's all I got. I'm trying to remember everything, but that's all I got.
All right. Amazing.
They're all young. All of them. They're all talented.
Yes. So they're going to do great things.
Yes.
All right, all right, all right.
I call that a wrap.
Wrap.
Let's wrap it.
Wrap it up like a condom.
Sure.
A penis and a condom.
Penis and a condom.
Keep those babies away.
All right. Till the next episode.
See ya.
Bye.